Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari.Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi HariJai Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padavaja Gacharya Astu Tadasata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padavaja Gacharya Astu Tadasata Shishimad Srimad Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Brahmsa Koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadvip Dham Kijai Jagannapuri Dham Kijai Tulsi Devi Kijai Bhakti Devi Kijai Jamunamaya Gangamaya Kijai New Dwarka Dham Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Their Divine Lordship, Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Shimate Subhadra Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Garantara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Ki Jai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Gora Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna.All glories, Shri Shri Guru, Shri Guranga, Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 16. We are on text number 12. And today we'll discuss a little about the sacred conversations. The Lord is conversing, you know, revealing his mind actually.And the four Kumaras are also speaking. So it's very sacred conversations, and we have a lot to learn here of the dynamics of how to work together and understand our behaviors and cooperation. So if we know the mind of the Lord, and sometimes we make mistakes not knowing the mind of the Lord, then we actually have to... take the consequences. So this is actually very confidential, to know the mind of the Lord, the mood of the Lord, his feelings. You know, we know so much about Krishna and his mood and mind and feelings. So the verse today. Tanme swabhatur avasayam lakshmano. Me swabhatur avasayam lakshmano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tadanugraho me. Yat kalpitam acharito britayor vivasaha. Tan me swabhartar avasayam alakshamanano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tadanugraho me. Yad kalpatam acharito bretayor vivasaha. Tan me swabhartar avasayama lakshamanano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tadan anugraho me. Yat kalpatam acharito britayor vivasaha. Tameswar bartu lakshamano. Yad kalpitam acharito britayor vivasaha. Tanme swabhartu avasayama lakshamanano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tadanugraho me. Yat kalpitam acharito britayor vivasaha. Tanme swabhartu avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tadanugraho me. Yat kalpatam acharito britayor vivasaha. Vaishnavis. Tanme swabhartu avasayam alakshamana. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Tanme Svabhartu Avasayam Lakshamano. Yusmar Vyatikramakatim Pratipadya Sadhya. Bhuyo Mamantikam Itam Tadanugraho Me. Yat kaupitam acharito britayor vivasaha. Tanme svabhartur avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad vyatikramagatim pratipadya sadhya. Yat kalpitam acharato bitayor vivasaha. Tat. Therefore. Me. My. Svabhartu. Of their master. Avasayam. The intention. Alakshamano. Not knowing. Yusmat, against you, vatikrama, offense, katim, result, pratipadya, reaping, sadya, immediately, bhuyaha, again, mama antikam, near me, itam, obtain, tat, that, anugraha, a favor, me, to me, yat, which, kalpatam, let it be arranged, achirataha, not long, britayo, of these two servants, vivasaha, exile. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. These servants of mine have transgressed against you. Not knowing the mind of their master, I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruit of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. Purport. From this statement, we can understand how anxious the Lord is to get his servitor back into Vaikuntha. This incident, therefore, proves that those who have once entered a Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. The case of Jai and Vijay is not a fall down. It is just an accident. The Lord is always anxious to get such devotees back again to the Vaikuntha planets as soon as possible. It is to be assumed that there is no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees. But when there are discrepancies or disruptions between one devotee and another, one has to suffer the consequences. Although that kind of suffering is temporary, the Lord is so kind to his devotees that he took all the responsibility for the doorman's offense and requested the sages to give them facilities to return to Vaikuntha as soon as possible. Jaya. Om Agyana Tumaranda Shyagin Anjana Salakaya Chakshusunmulitanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Guru Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitadam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruits of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. So it's a very wonderful topic here. So this is a section we're in. The chapter, the two doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages. So this is the verses 1 through 12. We're just finishing where the Lord apologizes to the Kumaras on behalf of his devotee servants. And this is the last verse. So he's telling them, please let my servants come back to me very soon. You know, I'm willing, anybody offends my devotee, you know, I'm willing to lop off my arm, you know, to make up for it. It's like, it's just amazing how humbling the Lord is here. So these texts that we're studying here today from verses 1 to 12, basically it revolves around the Supreme Personality of Godhead's intentions, emphasizing his respect for the devotees and the significance of devotion and the interconnectedness of all beings. So the Lord, he values the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and defenseless creatures, and he seeks their respect, and he expresses his desire to unite with his devotees despite many challenges. So the purports to these particular verses, you know, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing again the importance of respecting devotees and the consequences of offenses. And also again the power of devotion and the Lord's deep attachment to his devotees, even when facing challenges or making mistakes. So this is interesting. Srila Vishnuvala Chakravarti Thakur explained, you know, his purport regarding this particular verse. He said that the Lord was not happy with the Kumara's act of cursing the doorkeepers. And the above statements of the Lord were tinged with sarcasm and a deep attachment towards Jai and Vijay. So he's saying, you know, please just bring them back, you know. It's like, so the Lord is a little bit of sarcasm there. So here, Srila Prabhupada has many temples, and nowadays his followers are making many temples. And so these temples, the residents here, we're representatives of the deities like Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev, Shrimati Subhadra, Shishi Gornitai. And Prabhupada said these are like temples. These are like the spiritual world. So imagine, you know, all these different temples, and anyone who comes to these temples, they must be treated with care, respect, love, you know, and represent the Lord appropriately. So the Lord takes the devotees very, very, with great importance. And as servants, if we don't want to do anything that would displease the Lord. So we're learning in these verses what is the mind of the Lord. And we have to take that into consideration. If we don't, then there's consequences. So this is very interesting. We've seen so many devotees come and go, take over different departments. And you find out they had some or another, not only are they disrespecting, but rude to visitors and the residents of the devotees. And we see they don't last very long in that particular service, at least. What to speak if they actually don't, you know, they actually leave. So this is very important. Again and again, it's been, you know. So here we see, this is a new Dwarka temple. We see the flag. And this is the Eka Chakram. You know, it's like Eka Atapatram. It's the one military force, one flag. So by the mercy of Krishna, we can be unconquerable. But if the devotees have to be cooperative. Because he probably said that the movement cannot be destroyed from without, only from within. So there's many, each of us have our flags of individuality, but yet we're under the flag of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Sankirtan mission in ISKCON. So here's a nice picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples, they were performing public kirtan outside the Sri Bhaktivinod Asana in Calcutta. This is 1930. And in May in 1977, Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that in the presence of his guru, Maharaj, all the disciples were very respectful to each other. But when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj left, they all started to fight. So much fighting. And my Guru Maharaj, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, he was remembering, you know, he lives in Mayapur. He said one time a brahmachari came from the Gaudiya Math. He came to Mayapur with his head cut off. They are actually fighting with weapons. But some or another, the jugular vein and the throat pipe was still intact. And he was holding his head, and they rushed him to the hospital in Krishnanagar, and there they reattached his head to his body. So this is like the epitome, and this is the most shocking thing that Jayapataka Maharaj said he saw. But so much fighting, and this is what happens even in spiritual movements. So we have to be very, very careful. Srila Prabhupada said, even in my presence, my disciples are fighting. Even one time in Hyderabad, and the two disciples were so much fighting, arguing. He said, okay, just go outside and have a fist fight and work it out and then come back. You know, so, but Prabhupada's final instructions were, you know, your love for me will be shown by the way you cooperate among yourselves when I'm gone. So there's one, Prabhupada's disciple wrote in his Vyasa Puja that he thought the unity of ISKCON is the highest worship of Prabhupada. Which made a lot of sense. So this cooperation, it's actually a science, and they found out that it actually saves money, it saves time, it saves energy, and what to speak of suffering. So, you know, there's cooperation. Even if you have, like, cooperation between nations, it saves everything. You know, especially the most important thing, it saves lives, human beings, and Mother Nature also. We should cooperate. So we just see that our global warming and so many things happening because of lack of cooperating, knowing the mind of the Lord, understanding how Mother Nature works and these things. So it's very important. So this says that cooperation is a science and it can replace the psychology of disputes, antagonism, fighting, war, and bloodshed. And our life will change dramatically when people learn how to cooperate. So this is so important, how we see in cooperation we're working together. It's like Prabhupada describes the rocks are rubbing against each other and they become smooth. So by our group cooperation, it destroys our glamours, our illusions, you know, because in the group we have more light. You know, we gain more knowledge from other people, from other devotees, and we see in this way we help each other. And then the temptation of trying to manipulate people is overcome. And then we become useful to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But just think, if you cooperate with the divine and you know the mind of the Lord, and then you'll know what your purpose of life is. Everyone talks about purpose. What is my purpose? You see? And then you understand what's the reason for even becoming healthy or happy or joy or freedom. It's not for the purpose of pleasing ourselves, but for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Person. So this is what we want to do, is also evoke that purpose in other human beings so that helps them live a purposeful life. And this is the whole goal of religion, isn't it? This is the mind of the Lord, is to bring his devotees back as soon as possible to Vaikuntha. So if we find, Prabhupada uses the analogy of the pebble in the lake, right? You throw in one pebble, it makes a nice ripple. But if you throw in all kinds of pebbles everywhere, there's so many ripples clashing. So we have to have the common goal, you know, of religion, the supreme goal. And in that way, that is to cooperate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us how to cooperate, not only with the great acharyas, but with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his plans, knowing his mind. And then just imagine how much light and knowledge and purity we can attain by cooperating with the great souls. and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I don't know if you've heard this story, which really relates to what we're talking about today. Has anybody heard that story, The Rabbi's Gift? Oh yeah, Archita and you. Okay, a couple people. So this is a story. I'll just summarize it because of time. But basically, there was a decaying monastery, and it only had 5 monks remaining. They were like in their 70s, really. And there was the abbot, he seeks advice from a rabbi who happens to be occasionally visiting near a nearby hut. And so because they were very sensitive, these monks, they could tell when the rabbi was there. So they decided to go see him. So the rabbi explained to the rabbi, he said that, you know, the spirit has diminished, you know, in our monastery. And so the rabbi says, yeah, it's diminished in town as well. And then they discussed their faiths, and then they parted their ways. But then the rabbi's parting words to the abbot are, because he said, you have to give me some advice on how to save our monastery. And this is what he said. He said, the Messiah is among you. And then when he went back to the monastery, the monks were pondering this rabbi's words, and they wondered, the Messiah is one of them? You know, is one of us? And they began thinking, you know, on the off chance it might be this person or it might be that person, even though that person spaced out. You know, he's really always on time. He's always there for you. And this person. And they began to just see the good qualities in each other, that just in case, he's the Messiah. And then they would also think, you know, on the off chance that I'm the Messiah, how could that be? I'm just, I'm just a regular devotee. So this way they kept, and then this way they began to have this newfound respect. There was in this aura of spirituality, and it began to attract visitors. And then with this respect-filled atmosphere, you know, a lot of people started to come, and people, you know, wanted to stay there. So they began to have deeper conversations with the visitors and the monks. And then younger people began to ask, can I join this order? And then the monastery flourished again. And it was a vibrant center of spirituality and light. So just see. So this story illustrates how the rabbi's message, the Messiah is among you, prompts the monks to treat one another and themselves with extraordinary respect. And that led to the revival of the monastery and its transformation. So, in this regard, there's a morning walk by Srila Prabhupada in Bombay in April of 1977. And Prabhupada was talking with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they were discussing the potential impact of Krishna consciousness movement on the world. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he suggested that naming a publication, Krishna, Messiah of the Harijanas, referring to the idea that people need a Messiah. So Prabhupada, this is what Prabhupada said. I'm just summarizing because you could go and see this particular morning walk and get the details. But Prabhupada emphasized that anyone who is Krishna conscious can be a Messiah, and explained that the power of Gauranga's devotees is immense and is capable of delivering the entire universe. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he humbly mentions that, Srila Prabhupada, we're just like bugs compared to you. And then Prabhupada reminded him that his disciples should also possess that power. See, many, even Prabhupada's disciples don't believe that some of his disciples can get that power from Prabhupada. It's only Prabhupada. But that's actually like an offense to Srila Prabhupada even. So Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says his instructions to become gurus by following his teachings and sharing what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, thereby becoming empowered messiahs themselves. So Prabhupada was saying, you know, like father, like son. So how Prabhupada wanted everyone, and Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone, to become a messiah and help save this world. So I heard this talk by one devotee, and it really stuck with me, and he said that we are a judge for others' mistakes. And then we're a lawyer for our own mistakes, right? So we're so easy to judge people. And then if you're wrong, you have to defend yourself. You know, it's like this. We're either blaming or defending, judging or defending. So, and it's interesting how one of the causes of this judgment today is swiping and scrolling for no reason, just because maybe you're bored. I mean, it's okay to swipe and scroll if you're like doing some research or doing some business. But actually, research backs up three results that you get from social media. And again, research has proved it. And they've been doing this since 2009. And one of the results that you get from just scrolling and swiping mindlessly, just for no reason, is that you become highly judgmental. Because with every swipe, it's a judgment. Do I like this? Do I not like this? Are they like me? This, like that? You know, so it's always judgmental about everything. And even watching anything on TV, they said, because of the way they set it up, it's a low grade of stress. People think you're watching TV to relax, but actually it's not the case. But they've studied that it actually causes a low grade of stress. And then the second thing that result from this mindless swiping and scrolling is that you begin to compare yourself to others. Actually, I did put this in. You become judgmental, and you have comparison. You compare yourself to others. So you're always comparing. You know, is that better than mine? I have to do this now, and compare. It just wastes so much energy. It's so exhausting. And then the third thing is that you have tremendous disengagement from the future. So instead of, you know, creating your future and planning and growing, you're actually disengaged. So this is a big problem, because they're paying engineers millions and millions of dollars just to take this your attention and cause this, because this is how they make money. So there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll get to that verse, but it explains that during the beginning of the Treta Yuga, when the sages and saintly persons witnessed disrespectful interactions among people, and what do? They introduce deity worship as a means to counteract this behavior. So this is what happened. And this is a beautiful verse from the ninth canto. This is the verse here. Okay, so this is how it goes. Following the regulated principles of Maha Abhishek, bathing the deity, Maharaj Ambarish performed the bathing ceremony for the deity of Lord Krishna with all paraphernalia. And then he dressed the deity with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant flower garlands, and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. With attention and devotion, he worshipped Krishna and all the greatly fortunate brahmanas who were free from material desires. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gave a very wonderful purport there, but I'm just going to read one paragraph. In response to the disrespectful behavior emerging among Vaishnavas, the practice of temple worship was introduced in Treta Yuga and further emphasized in Dwarpa Yuga. However, in Kali Yuga, deity worship has been neglected, making chanting the Hare Krishna mantra more powerful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified this by focusing on Sankirtan, congregational chanting, rather than establishing temples or deities. So you see, Srila Prabhupada actually established both, because he knew that you can't go out on Sankirtan unless you get that spiritual purity, that potency, and understanding how we have deep respect for the deities. But if you don't have respect for the devotees, then you're considered to be a neophyte devotee. So we have to very much take both of these instructions to heart. So in the purport also, Prabhupada suggests that while establishing temples, it's valuable, distributing transcendental literature and engaging in Sankirtan are more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. And so This quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam highlights that being deeply engaged in deity worship but lacking proper behavior towards devotees categorizes one as a prakriti bhakta. So that's described there. So this is the devotees. So in the purport, Prabhupada concludes that those who can't appreciate the activities of advanced devotees should engage in deity worship. And despite criticism from neophyte devotees, authorized preachers of Krishna consciousness are essential for spreading the holy name of the Lord. And deity worship becomes especially significant for neophytes to advance in spiritual life. So it's interesting, we see even in our deity worship, we find drama amongst devotees. So we have to be very, very careful that this we're within the Dham, we're in the holy Dham, and actually serving the Lord. So there's, as Prabhupada says in the purport, there's no discrepancy between the Lord and the devotees, but sometimes there's a discrepancy between the devotees and the devotees. And then one has to suffer the consequences for that who's ever at fault. So we see Lord Chaitanya has said, he's given us three things that are very important. And this is, we could say it together. Tanadapi sunichena, toradapi sahishnuna, amanina amanadena, kirtaniya sada hari. So this is it. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So these three things, you know, Trinadapi, we're lower than the grass. Tororapi, we're more tolerant than a tree. And Amanina Manadena, without being puffed up with false pride, we want to give respect to all. But we find ourselves also, we always want respect, right? But we never want to give respect to others. But we have to change that. These are the three things that we should always keep in mind. So here we see, Sri Prabhupada said our mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission is to teach everyone how to love God. That's all. And so he said today the world has become a hell because of an excess of atheists. And it's only due to the preaching of Mayavada philosophy, who are the enemies of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Chaitanya's mission is to save all the jivas from these clutches of these offenders. And so Prabhupada said, I'm so especially proud of my householder disciples who are preaching Lord Chaitanya's mission. And this is a new thing in the history of the Sankirtan movement in India. And therefore, he said, carry out these missionary activities and prove it by practical example that there is no bar for anyone in the matter of preaching work for spreading Krishna consciousness. He said, Krishna Katha is the only remedy for all the people of the world, because it can situate one in pure consciousness of the self and liberate one from material bondage. So here we see. So Prabhupada says to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, it's recommended by Lord Chaitanya as the greatest missionary activity, and all sensible men and women of the world may join in this great movement started by Lord Chaitanya. These boys and girls have given up all intoxication, but now they're intoxicated with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is distributing love of God to people who do not even know who God is. So we should always engage our energy and time in his service and abide by the laws of Krishna given by his representative. So there's a very nice prayer that Prabhupada said we should chant. My dear Krishna, please remind me to daily chant your holy name, even if I am in hell. And then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are calling us, please chant Hare Krishna, come along with us. In fact, in 1969, Srila Prabhupada was in the Rath Yatra Festival in San Francisco. Some of you just came from there. And Prabhupada was dancing for more than an hour in the parade. And there was one of his disciples, I forget his name, Shravanan or something like that. He was driving Prabhupada that day. And on the way back, Srila Prabhupada was gleaming in the car. And he told him, did you see how beautiful Gornitai were dancing amongst the devotees in the parade? Did you see how beautiful it was? And the devotee's like, you know, he didn't know what to say. But yeah, see, Lord Chaitanya's here. So we have to, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they're calling us. Please chant Hare Krishna. Come along with me. So this is our goal. And this is how we're practically, you know, spreading this Krishna consciousness movement to others. And Prabhupada says, we're showing Krishna. We're giving love of Krishna for people who do not even know who God is. So this is the power of this movement. So I'd like to end there and see if there's any comments or questions, realizations. This was this year's Rath Yatra, Venice Beach. Oh, yes, you have your hand? Oh, he's stretching. Okay. All right, well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.